This is a spiritual reading being given for Deborah McCormick on the 9th of August 2025 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the Hall of Memory and the Book of the Soul is given into our hand. In the Book of the Soul, Deborah, is a metaphor for all the incarnations that the soul has entered into since it first descended into the physical world hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the Book of the Soul, as I see it, is different to what I ordinarily receive. For it is sealed, it's been sealed, so I cannot see the soul name, nor the soul symbol. And the soul has, so to speak, sealed its memories. And they need to be unsealed. So we will I can undo the book. It's got a clasp on it, but I can undo it. And we shall open the book to the current incarnation. I'm interested that the book was sealed, which tells me that the soul itself has sealed away knowledge, so that certain understandings have not been permitted to enter into consciousness in this incarnation. So it's difficult for you to perceive purpose. It's difficult probably to understand the tapestry of this incarnation. The book, however, has opened and the soul depicts itself within the book for this incarnation on the right hand side in terms of the aura colours, and on the left hand side it gives me a little verse, we could call it, which represents the soul's purpose for this incarnation. The picture of the soul is the picture or the depiction of the colours of the aura, and each colour represents a gift. And the colours usually derive from incarnations which created them. Now, you've got very unusual aura colours. The first colour, as we see it, is a light. It's a light rose. It's very close to the body, so, which is very interesting because the first colour, if it's expansive, expands the understanding, the consciousness, the perception, and the insight into oneself. Now I'm wondering why that is, that it's so enclosed. I think that will probably be revealed as we enter into the reading more deeply. But for the moment, the light rose represents a sensitivity that should be widened, broadened, expanded, so to speak. And it's because of, it's a vicious cycle, really. If I put in your questions, and they're very good questions, by the way, I have fears and internal blocks that prevent me from living and connecting with others fully. Well, those fears, that the way I see it, is that you don't find yourself able to expand into connecting with others, because that's an expansive thing. If you can understand, you expand something within ourselves and expand into living. It's the fears, what you've called the fears and the blocks, that control the expansion, so it's not happening. But that can be dealt with. That's not a, we deal with, spirit deals with this sort of thing all the time. And the fears and the blocks, as you've described them, and I think you're very perceptive there, which relates, funnily enough, to the light rose. Light rose is very perceptive. So you've been very perceptive in that question. And they will relate to experiences from previous incarnations. But the second colour is a light blue. These are really light colours. It's been doing something right with your life, because the lighter colours indicate someone who's tried to lead a life of integrity, I think is a good word, of peace almost. That peace is really profoundly important to you, even if you feel you haven't had always had a lot of it. Honesty. You want to be honest with yourself. These are what the lightness of the colours represent. Now, there is, I perceive within the aura, a chain that winds around you. It winds around you from over the right shoulder, down around the, sorry, over the left shoulder, down around the right waist, up behind, and it connects, and it's like a prison chain that binds you, so that you are having difficulty moving. And no wonder you feel constrained and find it hard to express connection with others, because you are being restrained. On the outside of this, the first two colours, and then the chain sits in the astral and the etheric levels, is a red. And it's quite a strong red. It's a very unusual set of aura colours. The red is, you probably have a bit of a temper if you get pushed far enough. It's a really strong, dominating energy. You wouldn't suffer fools lightly, and you probably don't wait to let your displeasure, don't always wait to let your displeasure known. This sort of red can be quite directive and quite strong, have strong opinions. Whereas the very light colours, the light rose and the light blue, they are more who you really are. So it's as though you've got this barrier against people perceiving who you really are, and they have to go through that fiery sheath in order to encounter the true reality, and not many people are probably willing to do that. It doesn't stop you though being, it can be someone with that colour, the red, can be very capable, running something, managing, directing. If you're in a career or profession, you'll probably rise to a senior position. If you're a business person, you'll become a manager, which is really interesting because you don't have the managing colours there. You don't have the browns. It's a very back to front aura in some ways. Greens from the shoulders. A lot of change in your life. You don't keep things, like to keep things too stable. You like to move things around in your vicinity. Orange in the head, very unusual colour. And I think, let's see, it's some reason it's quite indistinct. I'm looking at the vortex, which is the cone of energy above the head. And it's a very, very pale purple, like a, I would call it lilac, but a very pale purple, very, again, a very unusual colour. The vortex indicates energies that are entering into you from spirit and will change your thinking and your understanding. And because it's quite pale, it probably means that your understanding is on the right path, and that what you need is a different perspective, slightly different perspective, and then lots of things will make sense. Let's go back to the light rose. As I've indicated, light rose is a colour of sensitivity, of intuition. It's also connects to an artistic nature, an artistic energy, that within your life you need to express yourself in some artistic way, whether it's through movement, through dance, through creating visually, through doing pottery. Any sort of artistic expression would really help bring out that light rose, particularly if you work with somehow with colours, with bringing colour and beauty into people's lives or into your own life. first incarnation that we see is, I think, about the 10th century. You're in a female body here. You're in a convent. I think a convent in France, somewhere near the south of France, or in the south of France, near the what we would call city of Lyon today. And I can see you walking in procession with the nuns, and you're singing or you're chanting, and you're actually swinging an incense holder. And it's this convent is placed in a most beautiful location. You were very young when you went into the convent, and your parents persuaded you, though you didn't need much persuasion, because as a young girl you saw visions of Virgin Mary and of angels, and it was pretty obvious that you had a religious vocation, so you were sent into the convent. And it was unfortunate that when it became known that you were favoured with these spiritual experiences, the other nuns got quite jealous. And they persuaded the Mother Superior to punish you. And then they ejected you from the convent. And because the convent was in a very remote place, you died on the mountainside. And you perished, so that you were ejected from a place that you loved, and you were thrust out without care, without compassion, and you were punished for your spiritual perception. Now, that's part of why the light rose is so compressed at the present moment. You will come to the realization now that it's not only permissible to have spiritual vision, but that it's important to encourage and develop it within self. Now, there's another little twist to this story, that the Mother Superior in that incarnation was your daughter in this life. And in that incarnation, she cast you out, she rejected you. And in this incarnation, you've accepted her because you accepted her spirit and her soul. You gave birth to her. So that's the greatest acceptance one human being can give to another. And that is, from your perspective, actually, that is the healing of the karma. But you would find probably your daughter, as you grew up, wouldn't see eye to eye with you. She'd have probably strong opinions, and she would probably want to reject you again. But there would be a sort of phases of acceptance and conciliation and understanding, and then other phases of pushing you away, of her trying to escape, and perhaps getting involved in, this is not really for her, but because she rejected living from a spiritual level on that particular incarnation, she would seek to express that spirituality in a different way, through possibly through drugs or alcohol or different experiences that she might look for in this incarnation, but she wouldn't take kindly to guidance being given to her. However, you've balanced that karma. In fact, you've done all your, really basically, you've balanced all your karma in this incarnation. We have a period in our life where we focus, the soul focuses on rebalancing that karma that it came into incarnation to sort out. And if you like, the soul, before it comes into incarnation, meets with the Lord of Karma and goes through what it would like to do in this life. There's souls it would like to meet and sort things out with. And the Lord of Karma listens and says, yes, you can do that, you can do that. No, that's too much for this life, but you could try this as well. And you come into with what one of my friends calls the sacred contract. And that is a list of contractual obligations that you have with the souls that you'll meet in this incarnation. So if you marry, for example, you have obligations, karmic connections with that partner. If you have children, you have karmic connections with them. Work, home, finance, all everything in life is to do with the karma. But it's also to do with purpose. And they are not identical, karma and purpose. Karma begins, or the karma that you came into incarnation to specifically rebalance, begins about the age of 30 and concludes about the age of 49. So about 20 years, the soul focuses on rebalancing that karma that it elected to resolve. Now, I've noticed that you are somewhat older, Deborah, than 49. So that in the last 10 years, or the last 9 years actually, your life should have moved on from those karmic relationships. And of course, if we've had a difficult relationship with a partner or with a sibling or with a child, that just because we get to the age of 50, where we have done our bit, doesn't mean that the other person feels it's resolved. So the attitude that you need to take, I think, is that you have given you what you needed to give, and that you cannot control the other person. You can't control their behavior. You can't control the way they feel. You can't control the way they react and act. So you just have to allow them to go through their process. And eventually, If we stop attaching ourselves to the behaviours and attitudes of that other person, eventually you will find that that anger or that energy or that conflict that they bear within themselves and that manifests in a conflict with you, that that will actually just run out like sand through an hourglass, if you'll forgive me saying. incarnation in ancient Greece about 200 years before Christ, where you, this time you're in a male body, and in this incarnation you are an artist, you paint. It's interesting because not only do you paint pictures of people, you paint things like amulets, you paint temples, you paint columns. I think that perhaps the ancient Greeks were not as white and pure as we like to imagine. I think they loved colour in their lives and in their architectures. You would create mosaics. You had there a slave, it was a male slave, whom you loved very much. But in a fit of rage, you put a dagger through them and killed them. And there wasn't much of much repercussion because the slave was your property. Though you were fined by the city, I notice, so there was some repercussion. Now, the soul of that slave is again the soul of that individual who was your daughter, and you can see that the karma which began at the with you slaying the slave, stabbing the slave, moved into the 10th century convent, where in return this soul as the Mother Superior was responsible for your death. And if we were to follow this throughout the centuries, we would find that there are more interactions between the two of you. In the 17th century, the 18th century, I'm sorry, I've got to look at the uniforms. You were in a male body this time, you were an officer on a British frigate. And this soul that was your daughter, she was a midshipman. And in that incarnation, you were shot in a battle, I think, against the French. But you were shot, and she tried to save you, or the midshipman tried to save you. And that created the connection, the next connection, which would allow the soul to enter in as your biological daughter, so that there is a connection going from one life to the other. And the karma lessens each time, so that this is the time when it can be resolved, because it no longer will manifest on a physical level, it will probably manifest on an emotional and a mental level. And there will be a complex array of interactions and emotions, but who gives to whom, who receives from whom, and each of you will want to give to the other at some stage, and each of you will want to take from the other. It's but this is in this incarnation, you have done your part, and I think that your daughter also will resolve her aspects of the karma towards you, and you'll probably have a beautiful relationship in the years to come. Often those relationships which we toil at hardest are the ones that bring greatest benefit. The light blue, second colour. Well, the light blue really says that you are a spiritual thinker, that you look at the world through not a prism, but a framework of spiritual understanding. You have the intuitive knowledge that this is not your first time on earth, nor will it be your last, sorry to say, but that you've been here many, many times. Incarnation in India, about the 4th century, where you are, I think I'll call you a dancer because it's how I perceive it. You're a dancer in the temple. Part of it, and the temple dancers were like priestesses, that they meditated, they led a celibate life, they travelled from temple to temple to perform the sacred dances at the sacred festivals. I think that part of you longs for that sense of peace and sense of purpose and fulfillment that you experienced in that incarnation. Sometimes we have incarnations that give us a rest from conflict and stress. And I think this was one of those, that out of that you would establish a connection with spiritual teachings and an understanding of the of the way spirit works. Incarnation in the 19th century, I think, might be the end of the 18th century, into the 19th century, in a male body here. And you were a missionary. You went to, I think you were a French missionary, because you went to Haiti. And there you had a great deal of difficulty because of the strength of the native religion and the religion was a combination of different energies from Africa. And one of the, how can I put it? One of the shamans, it's the practitioners, I think I'll say, put a curse on you. And being a civilized Frenchman, you thought, you just said, oh, there's nothing there, nothing more. That's just all native superstition. But unfortunately, this particular practitioner had a certain power, and they were able to chain, so to speak, the energy body, what we call the etheric body. And in so doing, they restricted your, the way you could express your energy, and you appeared to get very ill and sort of fade away. There is a word for that illness, and I'm sorry, I haven't, it hasn't been given to me, but it was a sort of a fading illness, and you faded gradually away, like a malaria or something that just lasted a long time, and you eventually died there. Now, that curse, if you like, that chain that was put on you persists from incarnation to incarnation, and it gradually gets less with every life. Now, I can see the possibility in this incarnation that it could be removed completely, and then you would come into full expression of your clairvoyant and spiritual faculties. But the person who has to remove it is, of course, you. And that's a difficult thing to do, because you have to find have to first of all find where the chain begins. And since the chain is linked back to itself, it's hard to find a place to start. Sometimes we just have to start. But I think you will find that there are opportunities are placed in front of you in the next year or the next couple of years. You are entering into a phase that we would call a time of transition or a time of dissolution, where the old way of living, the old life expressions, relationships, career, all sorts of things, they are going to actually dissolve away. And you will find in a couple of years' time that you are left with more like a framework, that many, whatever is extraneous to life has gone, and what is important is what remains. And in about 2 years' time, you will begin a process of rebuilding, building a new identity. So if you see the next 2 years as a time to release, let go, dissolve the elements from the past. Don't hold on. You won't be able to hold on anyway. But just let things go. As someone said, if they're not yours, they'll go. But if they really belong to you, then they'll come back in the end. So the next 2 years, time of release, and that's the time to release the chain. You don't need that either. You don't need the negative energies that build up from past lives. Oh, we've got the Reds, haven't we? The combative, fiery Reds. You had an incarnation in China, where you were part of the Mongolian army, assaulting the Chinese civilization and overrunning the dynasty. You were a general, not the general, but you were a commander, big commander, and you've killed a lot of people yourself. You were quite merciless, and you struck fear into the hearts of many people. In destroying or taking over the civilization of China, the Mongols took over a civilization that was much older than their own, in which they really didn't understand. So the Chinese gradually set about civilizing them. Now, what's interesting is that after the invasion was completed, you took up some of the Taoist practices, and you learned to move the etheric energies, the qi energies throughout the body. And being a Mongol, you wanted personal immortality. But because of the physical debts that you had accrued through hurting and maiming and killing people in that incarnation, you were not able to achieve success in the practice. You died actually of a brain hemorrhage, so I'd be careful about what sort of spiritual practices you undertake now. And so, in this incarnation, those blockages still remain to be cleared. We would say, Deborah, that there is a royal road to clearing all the blockages, and that is the path of reflection and self-reflection, observation and self-observation. And we will attach material to this reading so that you can have a starting place for inquiries about how you might progress with that. We're coming to the green color of the green shoulders. That's also really, that's an unusual color in that position. The shoulder colors are what lift us up, and if you've got green there, it should be healing. You should be lifted up through healing, through helping others, through natural therapies, through natural healings, and also interestingly through music, through singing, through using the voice, through moving the body. Had an incarnation in the Essenes in the 1st century AD, and there you were in a female body and you used healing, you used oils, water therapy, what we would now call aromatherapy, incense if you like, different incenses to heal people. You're very good at it, by the way, so if you feel like expanding your career, then you may well look towards healing, yoga, natural therapies, all that aspect. Incarnation in Japan, about the 14th century, in a female body here, and you're, I think the word is geisha, that you are trained in the art of living, of looking after people, particularly men. And I don't mean that there was a sexual thing going on, there wasn't, but you were a custodian of the culture, and so you would be able to meet with men who needed, who had heavy responsibility, who needed intellectual conversation. You would create tea beautifully for them, you'd make a ceremony out of it, you would have informed conversation about poetry and about culture, and it was a very healing thing for you to do. So in this incarnation you could have been a teacher. In fact, you might combine teaching with healing in some way. But you should also be a really good communicator in this incarnation. The orange in the head. Wow, that's a very potent colour there. It indicates to me that Christ is at work. And by Christ, I mean the power of thinking, the individuality, the increase in understanding. And it's sort of like it's been bottled up for years. There's a philosophical bent there. There's a really good thinking capacity, but not what I'd call precisely an intellectual one. Yes, intelligent, but not necessarily intellectual, if you can grab the difference. That is, you'd make a great teacher or philosopher or writer or thinker, but not necessarily a good computer programmer. Different styles of thinking. Now, descending into that is this light purple. Oh, this is a very interesting incarnation. You had an incarnation, as I've said, in the first century. The incarnation, the Essene incarnation, was in the first century before Christ. But you had another incarnation quite soon after. You didn't live very long in the previous incarnation, the Essene incarnation, but you came back quite quickly and you met Christ as a child. Well, the Gospels say that the mothers brought children to him, and the disciples forbade them, and he set one on his lap and he said, "Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And you were one of the children around Jesus the mothers had brought. Now, of course, you didn't understand a thing. But when one encounters a great spiritual power like that, then something alters within the soul. And so you carry that understanding, and it hasn't been able to be expressed, really, until now. Because what does it mean to become like a little child? It means that one returns to a state of innocence and forgiveness. Children don't feel guilt, remorse. They don't feel blockages and they don't feel hang-ups. They just are who they are. And I think that the orange within the head indicates the freeing of your connection with the Christ, which is going to be healed or can be healed in this incarnation within the next 7 to 8 years. And that brings me to the symbol of the Overself, which hovers above the head. And the symbol of the Overself is a communication from the I Am, the individuality, the Christ Self, whatever you would like to call it. And as I see it, you're standing looking up at a cross, and the cross has a serpent around it, a snake around it, and the cross has at the centre where the two arms intersect a rose. And that's a very ancient symbol. And the cross, or the rod with the snake around it, first of all represents healing. And it represents your healing and the fact that as the more you are healed within self, the more you are a healer towards other souls. The rose represents the Christ Self, the real self. And you're looking up at that because the real self is saying you have to take on the cross, that's the physical body. But in taking on the physical body, in accepting the physical body, in accepting the pains and the journeys and the limitations of the physical body, you are also taking on your own healing. And I, that is the I Am, I dwell at the heart of your being. And the purpose, ask for the higher purpose, that's given on the left-hand side, where it says the purpose, it gives the purpose of the incarnation, and in one phrase it is to unseal. And at the very beginning of the reading, I said that the book of the soul had been sealed. And it's been sealed because of the traumas and stress and enchainment, what's holding you back over many lifetimes, many incarnations. But in this incarnation, we can remove the seal from the book, and then the potential, the spiritual reason for the soul's existence, the spiritual purpose, will become manifest. So if I was to summarize that for you, I would say that the purpose of this incarnation, your highest purpose, is to gaze upwards at the cross, not in a Catholic or religious sense, but in the sense that this is you, this is your body, this is who you are, this is what you've created, and perceive that the way to healing is in front of you, and that the identification, in the identification with the cross of matter, that the freedom is given for the rose to bloom and the I Am to come into greater mature manifestation and expression. And the wonderful workings of spirit are that the more we heal ourselves, the more we heal others, the more we heal souls, the more we heal the world, the more we heal the earth. And if the earth and the world and all those in it need anything at this present time, it would be healing. And that would be a wonderful, wonderful purpose in the years to come. So shall it be.